Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt. Now that November 22 has come and gone, and we have seen the growing support for Reclaim Australia, it's time to reflect on what is going on in Australia. For too long, the left-wing media, governed by the socialists, the socialist alternative, the socialist this, that and the other thing, and the ALP, it's very clear that Australians are worried. The number of Australians who turned up, just ordinary men, women, children, who turned up at the Reclaim Australia rallies around the country shows that there is a problem. And what is that problem? The problem is Islam. I was very pleased to see such a large turnout at the Brisbane rally. We had over 600 patriots there. We were confronted by about 60 or 70 foul-mouthed socialist alternative university students, basically a renter crowd. Some were brandishing the CFMEU flag, although I've been assured by one of the CFMEU members that that was unauthorized use of their flag. I hope so. The problem that we see with the unions of late is that they seem to be siding with the enemy. That has got to stop. We are not racists. We are not bigots. We are standing up for Australian values, and we will continue to stand up for Australian values because this is our nation. It does not belong to Islam. It never will. As for the stupid lefties who kept on chanting, "Australia never was, never will be white," well, I've got a message for you guys. Think about what you're saying. In that case, you were all white. Why the hell are you still in this country? Obviously, you are not patriotic Australians, so please leave. Go back to, go over to Saudi Arabia or Iran or even Iraq and see how you like living there. But don't come to our rallies and try to deprive us of our freedom of speech. We have a right to be there. In fact, we have more of a right than you because we had all the permits in place. You just turned up like a ragtag bunch of left-wing scum and tried to shut us up. Well, it didn't work. And believe me, at any future rallies, if you turn up, we will make sure you won't be heard. We have a little surprise for you. Until now, Restore Australia has done a lot of activism. We've helped raise the awareness of the problems that we face in our political situation. And at the same time, we've been recruiting members. Unfortunately, we haven't had the time or the resources until now to put those members to good use. After all, if you join an organisation, surely you want to get active and do something with that organisation. So with that in mind, we have set up a new Facebook page. You can't get to it unless you are invited. It's a secret page, and therefore any conversations we have in there will be completely secret and cut off from any public scrutiny. We don't want the lefties and the Muslims seeing what we are planning. If you are a patriot, why not join Restore Australia and come and join us on the Facebook page? We are going to be organising monthly meetings where we will get together with other patriots and discuss what is going on in our country and how we can fix these things. So if you'd like to become a member, go to restoreaustralia.org.au and under the Get Involved main menu, there's a drop-down menu, apply for RA membership. Click on that and come join us. We are growing fast, and the reason is because people are tired of the political circus. If you are tired of it too, come join us.
Thank you.
Here's a great song by Duran Duran, Wild Boys. When Restore Australia started working to raise awareness of the many political problems that we face and suggest ways to fix them, the main way that we can do this is to use citizens-initiated referendums, but people often said to us, oh, don't go there because nobody's interested and it won't work. Well, we have kept going, we have kept raising awareness, and it was very clear at the Reclaim Australia rally in Brisbane, where I spoke, that people do want citizens-initiated referendums. They are sick and tired of not having a voice in how we are governed. We all are. So, let's have a look at what CIR really means. Now, generally speaking, when you mention it, there's a lot of questions, but very few answers. So I hope that to understand how citizens-initiated referendums can be such a benefit to all of us. Now, our Constitution is the highest law of the land. It overrides any state laws, and therefore it is imperative that we, the people, have the right to decide which constitutional laws we wish to enact to guide the ship of state, our government. We don't have that right at the moment to start a referendum. We can vote in a referendum, but we can't start one. Now, constitutional amendments set the groundwork for the way our government works. But just to be clear, constitutional CIR does not mean giving the people the right to vote on government legislation. That should and must be decided by a parliament voted in on the mandate of the people. The type of citizens-initiated referendums Restore Australia proposes is a vote by the people to amend the constitution only. Now, the votes of a constitutional referendum are binding on a government, if the vote is yes. If the vote is no, then the government must abandon any attempt to implement the proposed change. So why don't we have CIR now? Well, the writers of the Australian Constitution included section 128 that allows only the Australian people to change the constitution by voting in a referendum. Unfortunately, they gave only the politicians the power to start or initiate a referendum. This has proved to be the stumbling block that has denied we, the people, the right to a true democracy. So Restore Australia is dedicated to amending section 128 to give all voters the right to start a referendum. Now, once we get that, how will it work? Well, there are two ways we can initiate a referendum if we bring in CIR. CIR means citizens-initiated referendums, but we use CIR, it's easier. So the first way we can initiate a referendum is by having a sitting politician start one by submitting a bill to Parliament, and that is what happens today. Unfortunately, the politicians are not doing their job. The last referendum was supposed to be at the last election, and they were going to ask us if we would ratify local councils as the third tier of government. Well, I think they saw the light. They knew that the first two referendums on that had been roundly defeated, and this one would have been even more roundly defeated because so many people now are awake to the scam that local councils are not a third tier of government, and we don't want them to be. They've already got far too much power, which they've taken on themselves. It's time to put a stop to it. Now, the second way that we can initiate a referendum is for any voter to write a bill to submit to Parliament. However, the submitter must also accompany the bill with signatures of at least 1% of the Australian voters. So, at today's population figure of almost 24 million Australians, a submitter would need the signatures of at least 240,000 people. That's a pretty big ask. However, it's important that we do set the bar high, because we don't want established groups, for example, political parties or religious groups or other groups who have a lot of members, to exert an undue influence on our political scene. So we need to give the public the right to start a referendum. People have asked if that wouldn't open the doors for special interest groups. Well, of course, there is always that danger, but the question also assumes that a majority of Australians would agree to a change that would be bad for them. We believe the Australian people would never do that. So even if a bad referendum is approved and we are asked to vote in it, we, the people, will have the final say. For example, if somebody initiated a referendum to ask us if we would approve having the UN send troops into Australia for some reason to maintain peace in the event of civil war, would you vote yes or no? I know what I would. I don't want the UN telling us what to do. Or as another example, let's say that a group of Islamists attempt to amend our constitution to enshrine Sharia law in it. Now, there are approximately 600,000 to 800,000 Muslims in Australia today, according to the most recent census. they could get enough signatures to submit a bill to Parliament in the near future, because they're breeding like rabbits. But submitting a bill is no guarantee of success. Once Parliament accepts a bill for a vote in a referendum, the people have the final say. So giving we the people the power to determine our own political fate would encourage people to learn as much about the subject they are being asked to vote on first. CIR would give us confidence and stop the political apathy we see so much of today. When people have a vested interest in the outcome of a vote, they are not going to squander it, are they? Whenever we talk about citizens-initiated referendums, we often hear the objection that holding a referendum is extremely expensive. Well, it is. But that's because we're using 19th century technology. A pencil? Really? And paper to vote at polling booths? Look, it's time to modernise our electoral system. It's time to change it. And it's also time to bring in electronic voting coupled with very strong security. Now, one of the objections, of course, is that electronics voting could be subject to hacking, etc. Well, everything can be hacked. But if we required three identity verifications, we could avoid hacking. And it would work like this. Call up a number on your phone, and on logging in, the voter would be required to furnish, one, a password that they have personally set, and that can be changed at any time with an identity verification check sent by email or SMS. Number two would be their driver's license number, which is unique to each person. And number three would be a voting registration number emailed to them on registering to vote for the first time. And this voting number would remain theirs for life, much like the Social Security number in America. Now, with those three checks, if a system detects a duplicate attempt to log in, the voter would be notified to report to the nearest Electoral Commission office to personally verify their identity before they could vote. So we would build in not only electronic checks, but also human checking, so that we make sure that only the people who are allowed to vote can vote. While we're talking about citizens-initiated referendums, people often ask, yes, but how will it work? Where has it worked before? Well, actually, it's worked in a few places. Switzerland has over 100 years of citizens-initiated referendums, and after voting on 300 issues, the Swiss people have approved approximately 50% of the issues placed before them. They have four referendums a year, with as many issues in each one as they wish to vote on. So this month they could have a referendum on four topics. In 3 months' time, there may be only one topic. And of course, if there's nothing that needs voting on, there may not be a referendum at all. In 1977, the people rejected a value-added tax. In 1986, they rejected a proposal to join the United Nations. In 1984, the people rejected the government's proposal to reduce the working week from 42 hours to 38 hours. Switzerland today is one of the most prosperous and peaceful places on earth. The United States has 23 states which have some form of CIR. In California in 1987, the people rejected a government move to dispose of waste toxins in the ground. Now, this is very pertinent to us in Australia because we have some bozos trying to foist nuclear waste on us now. We don't want it. Why should we have it? But we can't stop it because we do not have CIR yet. Now, four US states have voted to bring back the death penalty through referendum. And in Florida, the people passed a law to force their government to balance the budget on only 80% of total revenue. So, over in the United States, the first true democracy in modern times, they have CIR. Why don't we? Italy used CIR in 1991 to remove existing laws that allowed corruption by criminal elements of political parties and officials. No politician had the courage to take on such organized and entrenched corruption. the Italians voted a huge 95% yes to get rid of the offending legislation. People power works. In Spain, when the Spanish governments wanted to leave NATO, the people rejected the proposal. In contrast, the people of New Zealand were never given a direct say when Prime Minister Lange took New Zealand out of ANZUS. And in Iceland, the people overthrew the government, brought in a whole new constitution, including CIR, and now they are taking the bankers, the corrupt bankers, to court and jailing them. This is how citizens-initiated referendums work for you, for us, for we, the people. Isn't it time that Australia does the same thing? We need CIR. The two-party political system is not working. It's time to change the system. With CIR, we could unite as Australians and start bringing about the changes we so desperately need to restore our nation to health, wealth, and prosperity. Here comes that man of many talents, the bloke who rides a white horse, the guy who tells everybody cut off their heads. Who does he think he is, the Red Queen? Well, he's certainly something. So let's have a listen to...
Mightimo!
Our intrepid hero and fornicator, Mightimo, still holding on to the long, graceful mane of his trusty speed, Al Gurak. A beautiful houri who shall remain nameless, because no one gives a name to a piece of shit, no matter how beautifully it is packaged, has just offered Mightimo a goblet of the rank. But has she tampered with his drink?
Shh! Don't tell the listeners that, you stupid narrator!
Oh, sorry, man. I'm not used to talking to a pile of horseshit. I will shut up for now and let you describe what happens.
Thank you, infidel. I will deal with you later.
What if I have to deal with you first, Mightimo?
Here, Mightimo, is your own rack. Will you drink to my superb beauty?
Give me that goblet, you vile seductress. Females will not be allowed to show their face once I become supreme ruler of the world. Or just Saudi Arabia will do for now. With that, he snatched the goblet from the houri's hand and gulped the fiery drink down. His face turned red as the liquor burned down into his gut. Oi, hey, that was good.
Mightimo, why are you speaking like a Jew? Don't you hate them?
Look below, you stupid woman. We are flying over Jerusalem, and you know what they say. When in Rome, do as the Romans do.
But Mightimo, there are no Romans down there, are there?
Stupid woman! That will teach you your face, woman. Now, get back to the ass of my mighty steed and stay there. I have to concentrate on landing this ungainly beast. With that, the houri left Mightimo to his own devices. Oh, that's not right. They didn't have any devices for flying back then, did they? Anyway, he turned to face forwards again and grabbed the reins of the horse.
Come on, my beauty, it's time to land. Did you see that Jewish temple down there? Let's land down there.
Whoa, you stupid man. Stop, stop.
Hey, you. You can't park your horse there.
Who says?
I say. I am the keeper of the temple on the mountain. You must park over there. 5 shekels, please.
5 shekels?
Yes, 5 shekels. And if you argue any more, it will be 7 shekels. I'm not here to...
I'm dead.
Yes, you are indeed, and death to all Jews from now on. In fact, I think I will write that down. Where did I put my Quran? Ah, yes, here it is. Let me see now, what surah was I up to? Ah, here we are. The next surah is Surah 9, verse 5. Now, what should I tell my stupid followers to do? I just killed the Jew. He was a non-believer. I know. This is my command to all Muslims. Kill the non-believers wherever you find them. Yes, that should do. For is it not written now? So that all those who are too stupid to think for themselves, like I, mighty Modu, must follow what I say. We will kill all the Jews and all the Christians. Tune in next week to find out what Mighty Mo will do in Jerusalem. Will he walk in the footsteps of Jesus? Who knows? Come back and find out.
Allah!
Mighty Mo!
The Reclaim Australia rallies are showing quite clearly that a majority of Australians are not only worried about the Islamisation of our country, they want to do something about it. As the Reclaim Australia movement has grown, so has opposition, which is kind of strange when you think about it, because the left and the Muslims continue to accuse us of being the problem, when it's clearly not us. We are just standing up to protect our rights and freedoms. So when the Muslims go out and blow up something, kill someone, or do any of the other nasty things that they've been doing, the left immediately jumps on the bandwagon and says, see, it's all your fault. Where is the logic in this? Well, of course, the socialists and the communists and the Muslims resort to emotions rather than logic. Reclaim Australia and Restore Australia are logical groups. We see the problem, we point out the problem, and we want to take action to stop the problem. That, to me, doesn't confer blame on us. It merely shows that we are right. When we are finally forced to go to war, all-out war against Islam, and make no mistake, that's going to happen. They're not going to let us just sit back. They're going to bring the fight to us, and we're going to have to respond. We'll see then who's sorry. Connie Francis sang about it a long time ago. Who's sorry now?
Sad and blue.
I've said it before, and I have to say it again and again probably. Islam declared war on us 1400 years ago. We are still at war. Islam is the problem, and it will not go away. Now, I was reading this morning the story of those two young Austrian girls who ran away from home to join ISIS. Well, one of them got killed in the battles, and the other one, after her friend died, tried to escape from Raqqa, which is where the ISIS capital city is. They caught her, and they beat her to death. Now, this story should be made into a movie and shown to all school children, high school children, as a warning. Islam means death. There can be no ifs, ands, or buts about this. Islam means death. It means death for anyone who dares defy them, as we have seen. Western politicians and other bloggers, etc., have been killed by ISIS simply because they stood up. Islam kills you. Not only that, but plenty of Muslims are dying at the hands of other Muslims because of Islam. It's time to rid our nation of Islam. And here's an idea. Muslims place all their faith in a place, unlike the Christians. Mecca is that place. That's where their god Allah resides, in the moon rock, inside the Kaaba, where they all go and walk around in circles. If we nuke Mecca, imagine what that would do to the Islamic psyche. All of a sudden, we would show them that their god is false. We know it's false anyway. But it would show them that their god is false, and it would destroy their reason for worshipping Allah. Because if Allah has been nuked, he's not there anymore, is he? So think about that. We need strong leaders willing to take the steps that are necessary to eliminate Islam from the world. And make no mistake, the only way this world can survive is to rid it of Islam. Islam is the problem. We need to get rid of it. It's like a cancer. What do you do with a cancer? You nuke it. So let's nuke Mecca.
Across the big blue ocean. Yeah, we're living in
Almost every day we hear people saying, oh, but you can't blame all the Muslims for a few terrorists. Well, that's like saying you can't blame all the rats for a bubonic plague. We don't know which ones are going to turn rabid. We don't know which ones will turn around and bomb us, kill us, slice off our heads, stab us, anywhere at any time. Now, if we're smart, we'll put up very strong security around any public meeting, because these days we don't know where they will strike or when, but we do know that they will strike, because that is the nature of Islam. And until we start taking proper steps to not only ensure the safety of the public at any public meeting, and until we start rounding up anyone who is even remotely associated with a mosque that is well known to promote terrorism, until we put tabs on every single Muslim and watch them and make sure that they don't step out of line, we cannot trust a single one of them. Islam is the problem, and until we take care of the problem, we will face this problem for many years to come. I'm getting old. I don't want my kids to have to grow up watching their backs like we have to do today. It's time to change this and make sure that they don't grow up in a world full of fear and terrorism. This problem didn't exist in Australia 5 years ago, and now everybody's concerned about Islam. So where is the problem? Obviously, Islam is the problem. You know, people ask me why I fight so hard to stop Islamization of Australia. Well, I lived in Islamic countries, Indonesia, Malaya. I went to high school in Penang, Malaya, which is a predominantly Islamic country. I lived in Thailand for 30 years. I saw the Islamic atrocities down south. I saw 6 dead Thai policemen shot to death by 21 terrorists. I've seen Islam in action. I've travelled through Islamic countries and see how they live. What a poor, impoverished, hopeless existence it is. All they live for is to get up in the morning and start going to the mosque to pray. They don't work very hard, if they work at all. They're not very educated, simply because they don't learn anything at school except the Quran. Islam destroys your nature and destroys your soul. So yes, I will fight Islam to the very death, my death or theirs, preferably theirs. This is the Restore Australia radio show with your host Mike Holt, signing off. Until next time. And here's a message to Islam. You can try to deny us our freedoms and our rights. You can try to impose your idiotic ideology on us, but you never will, because we believe in freedom, and we will fight you to your death.